You might remember the phrase, dress for success. It was the title of a best-selling book in the 1980s. Back in the day, if you were somebody interested in professional success, this was the book for you. It was the one way it would show you how to get an edge on your opponent, just by wearing the right clothes in the right way. And if you can do this, then, you know, the future, the sky is the limit. Well, of course, like many self-help books, it promised more than it delivered. But it was right about one thing. People pay attention to appearance. Over the years, I can safely say that I've never received a comment by a parishioner about the way other parishioners prayed or the way they sang during Mass. I have received countless comments about the way they were dressed. Father, you've got to tell these people to dress well before coming to church. Or sometimes I've heard the opposite, the casual view. Father, don't tell people how to dress when they come to church. They should come as they are and change while they're here. Clever, you got to give them credit. But my point is not to argue it one way or the other, although I'll put in a good word about dressing for the occasion. But it is to say that we know that whether in our professional life or our social life or our worship life, appearance does matter. So what do we make of this king in Jesus' parable? He sends out the invitations to his party. He basically gets snubbed by the guests, and then he opens the invitation to anyone who will come. But then, at the very end, he bounces one of his guests who does show up, all because of improper dress? Is it a case of this guest of failing to dress for success? Is the wedding guest guilty of a wardrobe malfunction? Well, it's tempting to think of it that way. But like so many of Jesus' parables and teachings, he's trying to redirect attention. And more specifically, he's trying to get his listeners to move away from matters of external appearance and into the realm of the heart. Jesus knows what we know. The heart is the place where we know that life is real. Whether it's joy or sorrow, whether it's guilt or gladness, the heart is the place where the rubber meets the road. It's the place where those invitations from God are either accepted or rejected. The state of our hearts is really the state of our lives. And that's what Jesus is aiming for. So when he speaks of this ill-dressed man at the banquet, it's not about his clothing, dress for success, or anything like that. It's about someone who comes to God's celebration thinking they've done the preparation, all the preparation, and that they deserve to be there. But because of their illusions combined with their presumption, they wind up being what we could consider a pretender. And they wind up spoiling the party by pretending that they've prepared as well, if not better, than anyone else. What's worse, everyone knows their charade. Shortly before being elected Pope Francis, the then Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio wrote about the vision of his pontificate. In his words, "I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out in the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security." Doesn't the former cardinal sound like a king who is frustrated, even exasperated? Doesn't it sound like a modern-day king who is willing to propose the gospel message to anyone, regardless of their race, creed, gender, or even their politics? For us as Americans in turbulent times, we do need a sense of security. And in the church's faith and in its way of life, we can feel secure and should feel secure. But at the same time, we put ourselves and our church at danger when we become closed in on ourselves. absorbed in our immediate interests, unwilling to share our faith and way of life with others. We can become like those invited guests to the banquet who say, "Sorry, I gotta get back to my farm. I've got to get back to my business." At Mass, at every Mass, the priest announces to the people, "Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours might be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father." When we say that, we believe that God will accept that sacrifice of ours along with Jesus. But God accepts our sacrifice on one condition, that our sacrifice be made from a people who belong to that sacrifice of Jesus, both in spirit and in truth.